All right, so we're starting a new series today. And Chris, did you pass out those to everyone, the extra tracks? Mary, did you get a track when you came in? Emily will give you a track here. We're going to look at that toward the end of our session today. And as I said, we're starting a new Sunday school series. The reason why we're studying this series is because some people have been asking for this series, but it's an important series. And I know since I've been here, people have been asking me for a Revelation series, which we just did a little bit of that last few weeks. And people have also said, can we do some training on evangelism? A number of people have asked me that over the years I've been here, and we've done a little bit, but we're going to do more today. And let me ask you this to start off. Why might this subject interest someone? Hopefully it interests you, and so you can answer that yourself. But why might this interest you or some people to think about evangelism? To have a series on evangelism.
Well, God commands us in the Scripture to do it, but I think many Christians are not comfortable with evangelism because they don't have the skill set.
And I'm going to write down some of these, too, because I'm actually asking this question so that I can cater and tune the lessons to come based on why people may be interested in this subject, and we'll tailor lessons around it. So I think I heard, one, God commands us, but many of us maybe don't feel very comfortable doing it. Is that an accurate...
Yeah, they don't have the skill set.
Don't have the skill set. Yeah, they want to be better equipped. Good. Anyone else? Other ideas of why we might want to study about evangelism?
How to,
absolutely. Yep, kind of the nuts and bolts of it. We're going to do a lot of that as we go through this series. Anyone else?
Acquire confidence in sharing our faith.
Yeah. Because what's the opposite of confidence when you share your faith? If you're not confident, what might you be? Fearful, exactly. And so we're going to have a whole lesson 1 week on thinking about this idea of fear with regard to evangelism. Because I think that's probably one of the biggest things to keep us all from sharing our faith is we just get afraid. And so hopefully we can build the confidence and think about what that biblical confidence is for sharing our faith. So we'll talk about that. And I think as we talk about these things, hopefully they become less scary even too. So, any other reasons why to study this? Tom, good to have you back.
I would say because the whole tenor of the New Testament is one of an evangelical church, and it doesn't, either the church moves forward or backwards, but it's not a static sort of faith.
Yeah.
Because if it's not moving forward, it begins to adopt all the practices of the culture it's in and moves backwards.
Yeah. And in our first session today, that's one of the things I want to present, is that the church is called to bring the gospel, and that's not just for the pastors and evangelists, but it's something for all of us. And so, it's our very mission, and so therefore we need to be learning how to do it better. So I think you're right. It's part of the whole tone of what we're trying to accomplish here. So, good. Well, what we're going to do in this series, we're probably going to have about 10 to 15 weeks for this evangelism series. And what we'll do first is we'll cover a lot of general evangelistic topics, training on how to do evangelism, how to share our faith. And then the next segment will be a little bit on apologetics. Apologetics is very intimately related to evangelism, the defense of our faith. We'll talk a little bit about apologetics even today as an introduction. And so we'll spend a little bit of time thinking about the different schools of thought on apologetics and beginning to think about how to defend our faith, and then maybe giving you some resources for how to further study up on that. And then the last component of our series, I added on recently because people have been asking for this as well, which is to think about how we share our faith to people of other religions. So both Christian cults and other faiths like Muslims or Buddhists, things like that. Because that's part of our evangelism. We're going to interact with people that have different religious worldviews and convictions, and helping to think about how to specifically approach each of those people of different convictions. So that'll be our main approach for our messages over the next 10-15 weeks. And when we start off these first few weeks on evangelism, some of the things we'll cover, we'll talk about the how-tos. You know, John, you mentioned the how-tos. We're going to talk about how to explain the gospel, how to work the gospel into our conversation. We'll think about some practical aspects of this. I hope this will be a very practical time, a very sort of low-key time where we can think about how this might look like in our everyday situations. We'll even talk about sharing our testimony and what might be included in a testimony, or maybe not to include in a testimony, and to think about how to find opportunities to share our testimony. We will deal with the subject of fear and therefore how to find biblical confidence in our sharing our faith. We'll talk a little bit about, as well, one of the topics will be something that you might call lifestyle evangelism, and that's kind of a loaded word. We're going to mention it even in our sermon today. It's a loaded word because some people use it in a bad way. Some people say, well, I can just live godly, and that's my evangelism, and I don't need to do anything else. That's not what I mean. But on the other hand, the Bible does say that our living should be a testimony to who we are in Christ and God's work in our life. It's not to say it's to be separate and never to be added with words about the gospel, but it's certainly a component of it. So we'll talk a little bit about that at one point. And we'll talk about the importance of prayer in going about in evangelizing. And that's, I think, a very crucial component as well. We need to be praying about our evangelism. We need support from others as we go out, have prayer support behind us. So, and one of the things I'll be doing early on in our lessons is trying to assign some homework at the end. And that homework is going to be typically something about either a passage to maybe try to memorize during the week or read over during the week, or in this case, today's homework will be that you read over this tract. And I want us to all get really familiar with the gospel. We all hopefully know the gospel. We're all hopefully believers in Christ. But at the end of the day, evangelism is about sharing the gospel. And we have to get really good at explaining the gospel. And that's really what we're going to focus on more than anything. And so each time I'll try to give a little homework assignment for you to look through. And then the following week we'll talk through how that explains the gospel. And so some of it will be a little bit of chance to hear the gospel explained each week as we come through the evangelism series. Anything, I just gave a broad overview. Any other topics on evangelism you'd like to see me include? I can write it into my notes and try to cover during our time here. If you think about it, you can let me know afterward too, and I'll try to add that in for you. So, okay. So, at the end of the day, let's start with a definition. What is evangelism? If I have an evangelism series, we probably should know what the word means.
Spreading the word.
All right, and spreading the evangel, which is the word comes from the Greek, the gospel. The Greek word for gospel is euangelion, which eventually I think through Latin and ultimately in English it somehow works out to evangelism, is sharing that gospel, sharing the good news. And so, you know, this is where, like, you know, John mentioned the how-tos, and this is why I said we're going to try each week to have a little homework assignment that is reading a passage that explains the gospel or reading a tract that explains the gospel, because at the end of the day, it really is that simple. Evangelism really becomes that simple. It's just telling people the gospel. And so if we can all get really good at that, then we've figured out the how-to. Now that to be said, sure, we're going to talk about some more of the detailed mechanics of, you know, in conversations, how do we work out opportunities to bring the gospel? You know, when people say this, you know, how might we respond? Some of the apologetics questions that come up. So certainly, there's more in-depth to talk about. But at the end of the day, it's about communicating a message called the gospel. And we have to not just know it, we have to be able to say it and explain it. And I find, you know, we have membership interviews, right? I find that usually when people come in for membership interviews, they know it all up here about the gospel. And you ask them to share their faith a little bit. And sometimes that's the difficult part, is going from what you know in here to actually communicating it. So that's what we're going to work on doing. So what I thought then we'd do today to kind of start by way of introduction is to look at some passages that show us that the church has a call to share our faith. that the church has a call to evangelize. And so we'll just look at a few passages. And if we have time, then at the end, we'll walk through briefly this little tract to prepare for next week as well. So why don't we start? I think a great place to start is in the Great Commission. Where is the Great Commission located in Scripture? Anyone know? Matthew what?
Matthew
28. Matthew 28. Good job. Close. 24 is close. But 28 is right, Mary. Thank you. So, Mary, since you knew where it was located, would you be willing to read verses 16 through 20?
Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age."
Amen. Amen. So who's this call given to here? This commission.
It's given to the disciples.
That's right. Absolutely. And they really become the foundation for the church that's set up in the New Testament. And so, by extension, it's given to the church. You can even think of how the church is said in Ephesians 2 to be founded upon the prophets and the apostles with Christ Jesus as their cornerstone. And so, this is the foundation. They are entrusted with this task and to teach others about this very task, as well as many other things, essentially to pass on that task. And so, look at verse 19. The first part of that task is what? Go and do what?
Make disciples.
Make disciples, yeah. And I think it's helpful in the Greek here to point out, make, you could also translate as enlist. It says, sign them up, so to speak, and bring them in. And then once they bring them in, it's not just you got them on paper now. Okay, we're good. We got them on the list, right? Because what then do you do after that? Well, you baptize them, which also is that official act of bringing them in. It's that external ordinance to show forth, hopefully, what's going on the inside. So the sacrament of initiation into the church. But then what do? With those new disciples? That's right. We teach them. We disciple them. And so that's important. It's not just getting converts on paper. It's not just having a commitment card signed. It's not just that point of conversion. Now we want to disciple them and teach them to obey all the things that Christ has commanded them. And, of course, the great encouragement is that God's going to be with us, that Jesus is going to be with us in all of this. And so my point, I guess, is right away, this is that great commission given to the 12 apostles. But I don't think we should see it as only something the apostles had to do, and now we don't have to do it anymore. And this is a call to the church, and we are the church. And we're called now to go and look on enlisting disciples and then seeing that they're discipled. And yes, we have different roles in all of this. Some of us, when we first come into the church, aren't in a place to be doing a lot of heavy discipling of other people. But we all have a part in which we play. We use the gifts that God has given us. And certainly one of the easiest things we all can do is share our faith with others around us. Tell about our testimony, tell about the gospel, and point people to Christ. So that's Matthew 28. Any questions on Matthew 28? Okay, we're just surveying a few passages here that talk about this call to share our faith as a way of introduction to our series today. Let's turn now to Colossians 4. Colossians 4. We'll look at verses 2 through 6. Who wants to read Colossians 4, 2 through 6? Did I see David volunteer?
Sure.
Thank you, Dave.
Colossians 4, 2 through 6?
Yeah.
"Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. meanwhile praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the times. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one.
Good. So, you know, a couple things to note in this passage. There's a prayer request that Paul gives the church. What's his prayer request?
God may open the door.
Okay.
Message.
Okay, so pray that he'd be able to, that they'd have opportunities to be able to share the gospel and then to do it boldly, right? But it would be easy then to think, oh, I guess then it's just the pastors and the apostles who share our faith. But I don't think you can get that out of this context, because then what goes on, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. And then it says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. And certainly in context, the evangelism context, I think that's part of what's here. And I like how some translations have it in verse 5, make the most of every opportunity is one of the translations here. It says, redeeming the time, make the most of every opportunity. I think that's all interrelated. That we have this idea that we're going to be in the world, and we're going to be interacting with outsiders, those who aren't believers. And we need to make the most of those opportunities. And it includes the speech component. Let your speech be seasoned with salt. You know how to answer each person. And we'll see in our sermon today in 1 Peter how one thing believers often face is unbelievers slandering them because of their faith. And certainly that's part of our sharing our faith, is when we're slandered even because of our faith. And so we have to be prepared to give our faith and to defend our faith. And in this case, to make the most of every opportunity. And I think one of the things we'll talk about in the weeks to come is looking for those times in our conversations to share our faith. And I know I can, you know, say I've done this sometimes better than other times. Sometimes I'm looking out, okay, this kind is exact the time I can mention something that would open up a conversation to a spiritual matter. And I'll do this sometimes, and often wonderful things come out of it. Other times, this is a confession. Oh, if I say something now, this is going to open up a whole spiritual can of worms. I've got an appointment in 5 minutes. I better just not steer the conversation that way. And that's, you know, maybe that's not the best opportunity for us to have those conversations. But the point is, we ought to look for every opportunity and make the most of it to share our faith. And I think that's part of what this passage is getting at. Any questions on Colossians 4? Let's flip over to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to read this in our service today. When I prepared this lesson, I didn't realize we'd read it in the service today too. So you'll get it double duty, but it fit for our service as I worked on our service as well. Matthew 5:16. Who will read that for us?
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father.
All right. So what's that passage saying? Anyone?
It's saying to let your light shine before men.
So, when we talk about interpreting passages, as a rule of thumb, using the exact same language doesn't help very much. But that's a start. We want to live in such a way that we adorn our living with godliness, so that others might recognize the hand of God in our life, that hopefully they might ultimately want to see God's work in their life too, and ultimately come to faith. And we'll talk more about this in our sermon today. This is 1 Peter has a similar idea, and it's really the topic we'll talk about in our sermon today, so I won't spend a lot of time on it. Let me point out, we don't do this perfectly. We do it by God's grace. But it is something, nonetheless, we're called to, which is to look to shine as lights in this world, to look to live godly and hope that will be noticed by others. And even silence false accusation against us when we look to, you know, even return hatred with love and good deeds. So this is what I'm calling in today's sermon, lifestyle evangelism. And again, I use that term not in the way some have used it, which is as an excuse to not have to ever talk about the gospel. I'm not saying that, but I am saying that part of how we interact with the world ought to be that we look to adorn our faith with good works. Not only because God commands us to do good works, but even as an opportunity to be a witness to God changing our life. So, does that make sense? Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter 3:15. So again, we're surveying different passages that give us a call to share our faith in different ways. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. If someone had one word to describe what we're called to do there, what would that one word be? Anyone? Emily? It is evangelism. That's a good word, and we could even use a word that's even more specific. And it may be a big word that you're not familiar with.
Apologetics.
Good. Apologetics is one of the things we do in evangelism, and apologetics is that aspect where we defend our faith. We defend our faith with, you know, the criticisms and critiques that come to us. We're prepared to know how to respond to those sorts of critiques. And we'll talk about apologetics as we go along here. It'll be one of the subjects we'll cover in some detail. And we need to. This is one of the passages that says we need to be prepared to do that. So good. Good. okay, one last passage, Acts 18:24-26. Okay, I'll read it here. Acts 18:24-26. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And I read this passage really as a sort of a just an example of lay people in the church sharing their faith to those they come into contact with. And here you got a man, Apollos, who knew the Scriptures, and of course here it's certainly talking the Old Testament Scriptures, had benefited from the ministry of John the Baptist, and yet obviously didn't fully know the way of Jesus Christ. And so he comes into contact with Aquila and Priscilla, and what do? They explain the Word of God to him more accurately. In other words, they surely tell him all about Jesus Christ, and it's this tremendous blessing to him. And if you read on, Apollos goes off and does great things himself in talking about Jesus to other Jews. And so, you know, this is again just kind of an example of what we're talking about, is us being prepared when the situations arise to give the gospel, to tell about Jesus. And so we want to be prepared. And sometimes the people will be like Apollos. They'll be easy. They know the Scriptures really well, and it's just helping connect the dots for them. Others will be people who are atheists and don't want anything to do with the idea of God. Others will have other religious, they'll be Buddhists or Muslims or something that will have their own crazy different viewpoints, and you'll have to challenge their convictions. And so you're going to get different situations that come into your life, and we need to be prepared to be able to communicate the gospel. And so those are some passages I wanted us to see today. Any questions on that Acts 16 or 18 passage there? Well, okay, here's what I want to do then in our last few minutes. Go ahead and turn to this tract I passed out. You guys can get a tract. Here you go. Share that while we got one back. Let me get a few more here. Oops, sorry. There you go. There's a lot more in the back, by the way. I've given you one for class today, but we ordered a bunch, and the idea is these should be given to people. And so you can pick up more in the back. And what I'm going to do next week, and it may be scary and it may have nobody show up, is I'm going to suggest toward the end, we're going to go through this in detail and break up in groups of 2 to 3, and you guys can practice sharing your faith to one another. And I say groups of 2 or 3, if I figure we can have 1 to 2 people share in a group. If you don't want to share, you can meet a group of 3 and just observe. So you don't have to, though I'd recommend it. I think you'll benefit from it. The reality is we're only going to get good at this is if we work on trying to communicate the gospel. And so I hope for this can be a bit hands-on. We'll have times like this in our series to actually practice using tools like this and Bible verses and Bible passages to share our faith. And so what I want you to do is think through this and maybe even look at the Bible verses that it quotes this week and kind of reflect on this. That would be great for next week. But maybe just I'll walk through it briefly. We don't have a lot of time left. And then next week we'll kind of dissect it a little bit further. So go ahead and just flip open the book. It says, do you know for sure that you're going to be with God in heaven? If God were to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? Not sure, then this booklet has the best news you could ever hear. And so right away it starts off with some questions to get them to think about where they're at. And so those are the questions. And again, I'm looking at the timer. I'm just going to kind of go quickly through it this time to begin to just expose you to it. And it's essentially on that second page, it says that you can know for sure where you're going to be when you die. And that the answers are out there and really challenging people to think about, what is eternity going to be? What will life after this life look like? And so it goes into 5 things that they need to know. You'll see there, here's how. The Bible says there are 5 things you need to know about eternal life. And so flip over to the next page. Heaven. Let's see heaven. And the basic point here is eternal life is a free gift. It's not something that you earn. And that's the, big lines there. It's not earned or deserved. It's a gift. Gifts you can't earn, gifts you receive. And so there's some passages here you can read over. And again, that's what I'd like you to do this week is kind of reflect on the Bible passages. And why can no one earn heaven? Why can't you earn your way into heaven? We'll flip over to the next page. Man is a sinner. It's a bad word to many people in the world today. They don't like mankind being called a sinner. They don't want to be called a sinner themselves. That's why the Bible says something to the effect of in John that men didn't like the light. Because it exposes what they do is wrong. It's like when you turn on the light switch with a roach-infested apartment, all of them scurry away, right? They don't like the light. That's like man's sin when it's exposed. Often they don't want to have that exposure. Well, the Bible makes it clear, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And sin, it's got a definition here. It's transgressing God's law, breaking God's law. And it gives a list there of some of those sins. And the point there is man can't save himself. Man can't solve the problem of sin himself. And the standard, of course, is there it says in Matthew 5, is perfection. Moral, righteous perfection. And that's where man falls short. And yet, because despite this high standard, even though we can't save ourselves, there's good news. Flip the page. The previous page was kind of the bad news. Now the good news is God is merciful. That's point number 3 here. God is merciful. He doesn't want to punish us. The Bible says God is love. He says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. But the problem, the tension is that God is also just. God's merciful, God's just. That's both shown on this page. And so there's a tension there. There's a, you might say, a problem there. How does that get solved? Well, it's solved for Jesus. On the one hand, right, God loves us, doesn't want to punish us. On the other hand, He's a just God and says sin must be punished. And so that's the solution given with Jesus Christ. Flip to the next page, number 4, Jesus Christ. And who is He? He's God come in the flesh, became fully man. God, man, 100% God, 100% man. And again, a passage there that talks about that. And what did Jesus do? He came. He lived a sinless life. He's the only human who's ever done that, lived a perfect life. And what did he do? He went to the cross. And why did he go to the cross? To pay the penalty for our sins. And of course, rose from the grave. He purchased a place in heaven for us. And he now offers us this free gift. He's achieved forgiveness of sins on the cross by bearing the penalty for sins. Remember, sin has to be punished. So he bears that penalty on the cross, and now he offers a free gift. And then turn the page. How do you receive that free gift? If it's a gift, how do you receive it? If I give you a gift, Madeline, you have to open it up. You don't earn that gift by opening it up. You're just looking inside and receiving it. Well, the Bible says you receive the free gift of eternal life through faith. Through faith. And it explains here what real faith is. It's not just something in the head that you know academically. It's not just temporary that you sign a commitment card one day and then forget about it. It's trusting in Jesus Christ alone for eternal life. It's resting upon Christ, what He's done for us. It's like a chair. You can know that it will hold your weight, but it's of no good until you sit down in it. Then you've trusted yourself to that chair. This is not a work, though, to sit in the chair. This is a work. If I just go like this, my leg muscles start burning, right? That's a work. But sitting in the chair is not a work. We're just receiving the value of that chair. Well, faith is merely a passive thing that we receive this great gift that's won for us. And these are kind of just analogies. And so then, if you turn the page, the question's put. Would you like to receive the gift of eternal life? And it's calling them to think through these things and have a response. And it describes some of that response here. Transferring your trust, it says, from what you've done to try to live your life to what Christ has done for you on the cross. And you think about it in terms of getting into heaven. Stop trying to think you can earn your way into heaven and realize that Christ has earned what you need. It is accomplished. It is finished in Christ. To receive Him as your Savior and to receive Him even as your Lord. You know, faith ought to be expressed in repentance, to turn from living life according to pagan ways, you might say, according to ways other than how God tells us to live our life, and say, I recognize I'm a sinner, and I want to be forgiven, but I also, as you call me to, want to begin to live my life for you. And I'm asking for your help to do that. And so it's a mental change of mind, a U-turn in your mind that says, now I'm going to set the Lord as Lord in my life. And that's related to that word repent there, turning away from your sins unto Christ, finding His forgiveness, and now even His Lordship in your life. And if you flip the page, you can go to God in prayer. Gives a sinner's prayer. This is just a sample prayer of how they could express this commitment of faith. And I wouldn't put, you know, it's not a magic formula. It's just a simple example of how you might go and call upon the Lord and express this faith. And then if you flip the page, welcome to God's family. It's an encouragement of what this means now, if you have become a Christian, that you have passed from death to life, that now you've received the gift of eternal life. Now you're a child of God forever. So a welcome there. And today is your spiritual birthday. The Bible talks about being born again. And, you know, when someone comes to faith, that means they've been born again and that they have new life now. And so if you flip over the next page, it gives a little, I think this is a little silly, but a spiritual birth certificate that they could fill out and record the date for it. There's nothing in the Bible about spiritual birth certificates. If they want to fill it out, that's great. It's just a way to help them realize the change that's taken place. And that's really what that you can use to communicate that. And so then afterward, it talks about helping them to grow. What's next, it says? Well, as a newborn baby is growing, they what do? They drink milk. And they, wow, and they want their milk, right? Well, God shows us now in the Bible how to grow as a newborn Christian. And we're told to read the Bible, be fed from the Word of God, told to pray, told to worship. And the importance then you can talk about coming and being a part of a local church. And fellowship is kind of intimately related with that. We fellowship when we come to church, but we also have other times when we fellowship with other believers in Christ. And then it says witness, you know, part of how we grow is even by sharing our faith. That's one of the things we're learning to do in this new Sunday school series that we've started. And so I know I went through that a bit quick. Next week what I'm going to do is, you've heard it exposed to you today. You're going to go home, hopefully, and read over this and contemplate some of the scriptures on it. And you're going to come back next week, and I'm going to walk through it again. I'm going to kind of walk through it more from a nuts and bolts perspective. What are they doing at this part? Why are they doing that? Why is that important from an evangelistic standpoint? And at that point, I'll give you chances to ask questions. If you've gone through it now, you've thought through it, maybe you have questions on a passage that's used or on a way someone might respond to that sort of question or truth. And so we're going to kind of think through it. And then, like I said, hopefully we'll have time at the end to break up into small groups and give at least some people who are bold enough chances in the small groups to actually try to communicate through this. At least one or two people in a group hopefully can have time to go through that. So any other questions for today before we close out our time? Hopefully you're all excited about this. You know, the best way to learn how to share the gospel is to practice it over and over. And practice it at home, I'd recommend. You know, you can find some buddies, call up a friend, and work on sharing your faith. So let's pray. Father, we thank you that we have heard the gospel, that someone shared it with us, and that we have faith. We give you the credit for that and the glory and the praise. Thank you that you've changed our lives, that we have been born again, that we have passed from death to life, that we now have assurance that when we die, we will go to be with you in heaven forever, not because of our own efforts, nothing we've earned, but by this great free gift that comes through the Lord's work, through becoming sin on the cross, that we would have life. And so we give you praise for that, and we ask for your help as we learn to share our faith, that we would learn to share it more effectively, with less fear, more confidence, trusting in your work, Lord, as we share the gospel. That you would give us opportunities and help us to study up on how to defend the faith as we get different objections. And bless this time in our Sunday school series as we attend to these matters. Prepare us now for the worship service that will begin in a few minutes here. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys.